Chapter 45. The Broken Seal. Sidney Grice was especially irascible when he returned. "How did the trial go?" I asked, and he dropped his eye into a cupped palm.
"How trials always go."
He shook out a rolled eye patch.
"According to the whims of 12 ignorant men."
He tied the patch behind his head.
"I spent 48 minutes explaining how Mr. Cornett could not possibly have been in Barnet on the night in question, with the whole box of them nodding along. Only for 50% of the exotically named South Sea Songstress Sisters to oscillate her Bactrian eyelashes and snivel, 'Oh, but I saw him there,' for the full dozen to change the remnants of their troglodytic neural ganglia."
He tossed 4 letters, unopened, over his shoulder into the bin. "Oh, dear." I held up my jug of water. "Would you like a cold drink while you wait for your tea?"
"I never like cold drinks."
He threw 2 more letters into the waste paper bin.
"They are usually warm."
And then he ripped open a pale rose-tinted envelope.
"This is the second countess who has proposed marriage to me this month."
He dropped that into his wire basket for filing and opened the flap of another to peruse it suspiciously.
"How do so many algebraists manage to get murdered?"
"I have often lain awake pondering that," I said. "Speaking of marriage..." He tore a blue paper letter in 4 and then one of the quarters in 4 again.
"I was talking of algebraicide."
"Yes, but before that."
"That is one of our few areas of common ground."
He reassembled the 7 torn pieces on his desk.
"Neither of us will ever enter into that ridiculous contract."
"Well, I might," I began tentatively, and he dipped his head.
"Oh, March,"
he smiled fleetingly.
"Even you are not that stupid. What man would be worth betraying me for, after all the time I have expended in patiently teaching you and all the confidences I have entrusted to you, in the understanding that you wish to follow, however ineptly, in my footsteps?"
"Yes, but surely I could..."
"Knowing that I could never work with another man's..."
He paused to give his final word the magnitude of disgust it deserved.
"Wife."
Sidney Grice broke the wax seal of a huge ivory envelope, glared at the card he had extracted, and made that odd quick bark that served him as a laugh.
"A princess, this time."
He threw it into the basket.
"Well, she shall have to settle for a lesser man."
I tried to bring the subject back to what I wanted to tell him. "But I would still..." I managed as the doorbell sounded, but I was not sure what I would still be to him when I was Mrs. Pound. "There is something we must talk about," I added quickly, but my guardian was reinserting his eye and running his fingers back through his hair.
"There are many things," he said, "beginning with why you have a nail protruding from the heel of your left boot, which is scratching my inadequately polished Hampshire oak floor."
"I broke the heel."
"Is this relevant to any of our cases?"
"No."
"Then stop jibber-jabbering about it."
Molly entered. "He told me to read it straight out so I won't not forget it." She held the card at arm's length and squinted. "His," she managed before bringing it up to her nose, "His Illustrated Highness Prince Orrrich." She turned back into the hall. "Is this an April Fool?" she demanded. "A-L-B what?" She screwed her eyes tight. "That's not how you spell Albert." "Oh!" She threw up her hands indignantly. "Sclue something." She waved the card accusingly and called over her shoulder. "You made that last one up!" "Prince Ulrich Albrecht Sigismund Schlangazan," I told her, and she leaned back disbelievingly. "This is like what they do in that street game when they get you to say things about seashells, she-shells, and all laugh and say I got it wrong when I didn't not." I squeezed past the immovable bulk that was my guardian's maid. "Good evening, Prince Ulrich," I said coolly. "Can I help you?" The prince looked even more splendid than I had remembered, I was chagrined to note, for I would have preferred him to be a shuffling, weaselly man with a bulbous, runny nose,
but standing a few inches before me, immaculately attired in a perfectly tailored charcoal coat and trousers, and boots that gleamed like black quartz, was one of the most strikingly handsome men I had come across in years.
"Miss Middleton."
He snapped his heels together and put out his hand, but I did not take it. "New boots." I recalled Lucy's account of the opium den. The prince's face was precisely and symmetrically carved, with a long, slightly hooked nose over his immaculately waxed, upturned military moustaches. And he had not followed many of his countrymen's predilection for horridly luxuriant side whiskers. His chin was square and clean-shaven, and unblemished apart from that scar. "Can I help you?" I repeated firmly, and was about to ask him to leave when my guardian came out.
"Your Highness."
He held out his hand with more bonhomie than I had known him to exhibit for any living human being before.
"Please excuse them. They are females." "So I am observing," the prince said in a doomed attempt at gallantry.
He was still a poor second to George, I decided.
"Come through."
Sidney Grice ushered our visitor towards my chair.
"But I cannot sit while the lady stands,"
Prince Ulrich protested.
"Oh, I do,"
Mr. G assured him, and proceeded to demonstrate. But the prince remained standing, his back as straight as his silver-topped walking stick, for it appeared he shared at least one of Sidney Grice's practices, that of carrying one indoors.
"Tea,"
Mr. G barked, and Molly made her way back down the hall.
"I come for two reasons," the prince began. "First, to know that you have quite recovered, Miss Middleton."
"From you threatening to assault me?" I inquired, and his immaculately tended moustaches rose like eyebrows in surprise.
"It cannot be that you are still believing that, after I explained."
His eyes, deep set under a prominent brow, flashed topaz as he directed them at me. "It can be," I assured him, and Prince Ulrich reddened a fraction in the jowls.
"I am an officer in the Imperial German Army, cousin to Kaiser Wilhelm, and a gentleman of the highest standing in my country. You are thinking I would outrage a woman?"
"When somebody pays a procurer and pokes me about like a pig in a cattle market, I cannot help but have my suspicions," I rejoined. His brow fell and those eyes were almost jet, but still compelling in their gaze.
"You cannot condemn me for acting my part well."
His lips had a sensual fullness to them that I might have found attractive if I had allowed myself to do so. "You are about to find out that I can."
"But you and your friend were acting it also."
Sidney Grice lay back in his chair, watching us both with mild amusement.
"I think it might be better if you sat, Prince Ulrich. Miss Middleton is in danger of dislocating her cervical vertebrae from trying to look you in the eye at a 9-inch disadvantage."
The prince shrugged.
"As you wish."
Our visitor helped himself to an upright chair from the central table and, with his higher vantage and greater height, I was hardly any better off when I settled into my armchair.
"Perhaps you would like to tell Miss Middleton the second reason that you came,"
Mr. G suggested.
"Indeed," the prince acquiesced. "Though I am having doubts as to whether you will give me your assent, Mr. Grice."
This sounded disconcertingly as if Schlangazan were seeking permission to ask for my hand in marriage, and it flashed through my mind that my refusal might be an opportunity to announce that I was already spoken for. But I dismissed the idea even as it floated into my mind.
"For what?"
My guardian pressed his fingertips so hard together that the tips blanched.
"I am seeking your dispensation to invite your ward to dinner."
Our visitor grasped the arms of his chair as if preparing to leave.
"Oh, she's just had that."
Molly trudged in with a tray.
"And even little Miss Greedy Chops don't not need two dinners."
As it happened, I sometimes did, sneaking off for proper food after pushing cook's swill around the plate.
"I have admonished you before about your unsolicited interruptions,"
Molly's employer rumbled,
and she grinned, though less toothily than she used to.
"He do use long words to say thanks," she told our visitor, and drew back her elbow as if to give him a chummy nudge, but luckily for her employment prospects, instead chose to puggle in her ear.
"I shall not stand in your way," Sidney Grice shooed Molly away, "but I doubt that she will accept."
I smiled sweetly at the Prussian and tried to flutter my eyelashes, but unlike Mr. G, I was never much good at that.
"You have something in your eye."
Aqueous humour.
"Miss Middleton."
Prince Ulrich cleared his throat, doubtless regretting his decision now. "Yes?"
"I know we have had an unfortunate start, and I should not like to read in one of your excellent accounts what a monster I was."
"Indeed you would not." I tossed my head. Again an unimpressive manoeuvre, with my hair so tightly pinned and tied back.
"So I am hoping you will accept my invitation to dine with me at my hotel."
"Very well," I replied, in what I hoped was a haughty manner.
"What time?"
My guardian blinked slowly like a lizard on a warm rock.
"Will you expect us?" "The two of you?"
Prince Ulrich's face was impassive, but his voice betrayed his surprise. "You do not want my maid to come too?"
"Nein, nein."
"Friday is convenient for me." I poured three teas.
"At 7? Oh, very well."
Mr. G adopted the tone of a browbeaten husband, whilst I set to pondering what I should wear. The prince declined my silent offer of milk.
"In Berlin, we drink our tea with lemon. An improvement on the glandular excretions with which Miss Middleton pollutes her beverages."
Mr. G stretched his mouth without exposing any teeth.
"I hope you will not be going to Limehouse again, Miss Middleton."
Prince Ulrich stirred a dab of sugar into his drink. Sidney Grice clamped his teeth together. "I shall go where I choose." I realized that I had put 4 sugars in my tea, though I normally have only 1.
"It is a dangerous place for a man."
The prince tilted his head, the scar flashing towards me like white lightning on his skin.
"Much more so for a lady."
"Are you afraid I will arrest you again?" I sipped my syrup.
"I would not put it past her."
Sidney Grice paddled his own tea vigorously in a to-and-fro motion from north to south that I had not seen him use before.
"I was thinking more of the safety."
Schlangazan's finger plates were nicely cut, I noticed, as he lifted his saucer.
"And you are wise to do so."
My godfather changed course, rowing leisurely from east to west.
"Miss Middleton can be a highly dangerous woman. Before you rush off," he said,
though our visitor had given no indication that he intended to do so. Sidney Grice put a hand to his waistcoat.
"I wanted to ask you about this, Your Highness."
The prince raised his eyebrows in polite interest as my guardian brought a carved box out of his pocket.
"I do not take snuff, Herr Grice,"
Prince Ulrich said. "Neither does Herr Grice," I told him, mainly because I wanted a chance to refer to my godfather in that way. Mr. G flipped up the lid to reveal the button nestling in white cotton.
"May I see?"
The prince held out his hand, and Sidney Grice tipped the button into it, watching him closely.
"It bears my family crest,"
Prince Ulrich confirmed.
"Where did you find it?" "Miss Middleton finds things."
Mr. G frosted around the edges. "Most of the time, one might more accurately say she stumbles over things. I seek and discover them." The German chuckled.
"You are not telling me."
"Is it yours?" I asked.
"It looks like one of my waistcoat buttons,"
the prince commented. "Have you noticed any missing?" I asked. He shrugged.
"I am not thinking so."
"Surely a gentleman who takes such care with his appearance as you clearly do would notice immediately," I reasoned, and he slapped his head theatrically.
"Maybe I did find one gone last week, maybe not,"
he said vaguely.
"But I did not pay so much attention."
Sidney Grice leaned back, Your valet would know, I pointed out. He must check everything.
Prince Ulrich grinned. You are good at this.
It is my profession, I responded, and Mr. G pursed his lips.
I shall get him to check, Prince Ulrich decided, and, if he has slipped up, I shall sack us both for incompetence. Him for not noticing, and myself for employing him.
He waited for a laugh, and I managed the seed of a smile.
Perhaps you could explain to Miss Middleton why you did not notice.
Sidney Grice pointed his right thumb down like a Roman emperor condemning a gladiator.
It was the day some stupid street child spilled a bucket of stinking waste over me. I was late for a meeting, and I had to return to my hotel to change.
He watched that thumb hover horizontally.
I might even have pulled it off myself in my rushing.
The thumb shot up, and the Prussian raised the corner of his lips uncertainly. Would you like more unsophisticated leaves soaked in water? I offered, and Schlangazan snorted at my reference to his words in Marleben.
Of course he would not.
Sidney Grice clamped a hand over the pot.
He is leaving.
Our visitor shifted in bemusement.
Then I shall expect you both.
He emphasized the last word a fraction tetchily.
On Friday at 7.
Assuming that I have not been murdered in the meantime. Mr. G swirled the dregs of his tea, peering in like a fortune-teller.
Are you expecting to be?
The prince was all at once a concerned parent.
I can arrange some protection.
There is no need, I assured him. It is just that one must always expect the unexpected in our business.
If one could expect the unexpected, it would become the expected.
Sidney Grice demolished my claim. The prince strained his tea and rose. Mr. G stretched over the back of his chair and gave the bell rope one pull. I never liked the skull joggling on the end of it. Our visitor bowed, and Sidney Grice wiggled his fingers but did not rise. Prince Ulrich straightened his coat.
I am happy to see you are none's averse for your experience, Miss Middleton.
So am I. I went with him into the hall. I let him kiss my hand. It was not that I was convinced by his account of what had occurred that night in Limehouse, but I rather liked being kissed by men with moustaches now.